This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, former LSU great now, he's baseball analyst for the SEC Network, Todd Walker. Todd, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome, guys. How's it going?
Doing great. Todd, it's kind of collision of a lot of different worlds now. We got NFL, free agency, the draft. Okay, you got March Madness. We just saw a deal. They estimate like $2.7 billion will be gambled on the NCAA basketball tournament as it's over the next couple weeks. And now in the SEC, for a lot of people, there are two seasons. SEC, LSU football, LSU baseball, and opening up this weekend with conference play. So you got a lot of worlds colliding sort of all at once in the sports world. But your thoughts, and I'll get your preview a little bit on Mississippi State, who's gotten hot lately. I think they've won 10 out of the last 11 games. Correct. And your thoughts on LSU, because, you know, we've talked about Arkansas and some of the other teams in the SEC, but Mississippi State just a couple years ago, national champs, didn't quite live up to expectations, but looks as though they got it back on some solid footing now.
Well, you could say that about every SEC team. When they play non-conference schedule at this point, they're 15-1. Texas A&M, I don't think it has lost yet. 16-2. You know, you're going to see that record from everybody in the SEC except Missouri. But right. So I don't look at it as hot and cold. Mississippi State's, I think they're hitting right up under 300 as a team. And again, that's playing non-conference schedule. So they don't hit particularly well. They got the Gerangelo, Sanji, you know, the ambidextrous pitcher that throws left and right-handed. Couple arms in that bullpen, couple arms on the mound. Chris Lemonis, who won the first national championship for Mississippi State in any sport a couple years ago, yep. You know, I mean, you got to give him big time credit for that and the ability to put a team together. But I don't think Mississippi State's going to be one of the contenders you're looking for at the end. LSU, on the other hand, is. I mean, they're my penned in number one team in the country. I'm not changing that all year long. I mean, what they did last year, and now there's not even really a whole lot of question marks on the pitching staff. I mean, they got 10 lefties on that staff. Two of which may start, you know, on the weekends with Cade Anderson, and the Gage Jump, the UCLA transfer, along with Luke Coleman, the transfer from Alabama, who's been lights out. And then you got Thatcher Hurd and the rest of the group. So, and we know they're going to hit offensively. LSU's as good as it gets. Last year they led the country, and they're not far behind that now. I think Tommy Tanks will get it going. You know, I think he's got a little bit of, you know, junioritis where, you know, he's going to be drafted high and he feels like he's got to fill the shoes from last year's squad, you know, and he doesn't have to. And he'll settle down. He'll be great. So overall, LSU's the number one team in the country.
Todd, I remember you talking about that last year, about junioritis and the fact that now we see it with Tanks. So you fully expecting he'll come out of this and he'll be fine, but he's just got to pretty much settle down and realizing you're not carrying the weight of the world on your back.
You're not Dylan Cruz. You're not going to hit 500. And that was, nobody's going to hit 500. So that's the first thing. My junior year, I was going to be drafted, you know, in the first round, and I was sitting on 6 or 7 home runs through most of the season. And I had hit 22 the year before. So I was thinking, what is going on? And as soon as you relax and you feel like the spotlight's not on you anymore, you know, I mean, the team will kind of take that away from them because they're going to be really good and they're going to be doing well in the SEC and, you know, contending for a championship again this year. Then, yes, he'll settle down. He'll start hitting bombs. I love his approach. You know, he's got a great two-strike approach. He spreads out. He keeps his eyes still. He can hit the ball the other way out of the ballpark. So he's going to be fine.
Todd, you brought up the fact that you really believe, and you brought this up the last time we talked to you a couple of weeks back, that you think LSU is the number one team in the country. Is there any team out there, and this year, you can't even compare to last year. You had Skeens, and then that was a lot of unknowns until a little bit late in the season that you found your pitching staff come around. Is there any other team close from a depth standpoint in college baseball to LSU?
Wake Forest probably has a similar group. Chase Burns, you know, transferred over from Tennessee. He's been unhittable this year. And that's what you look for, right? The team that can win a national championship. Do they have a frontline starter that can beat anybody in the country? Wake Forest has that with Chase Burns. I like to believe Luke Coleman. It's amazing, right, when people transfer over into LSU, how much better they become. I mean, Luke Coleman, the way I gauge a pitcher is their strikeout-to-walk ratio. He was 3-1 at Alabama. So was Paul Skeens when he was at Air Force. Three strikeouts to every one walk. Now it's 10-1. And that's what I think he's got 40 strikeouts and 4 walks. I think that's what Skeens did, you know, when they came into LSU. It all of a sudden elevates a lot of these guys' game. And so Luke Coleman, I think, is a frontline guy. Hagen Smith from Arkansas can beat anybody in the country, the lefty. So there's a few teams that have those guys. Florida's got the best player in the country, you know, both as a pitcher and as a hitter. He's going nuts down there, too. But overall, I think that's what you look for first. In terms of depth, I think Wake Forest has it, LSU has it. There's a few clubs that probably can compete. Florida's going to be really good. You know, Vanderbilt's going to play good defense. They've got 3 lefties. A&M, like I mentioned, undefeated right now, unless they lost a midweek game that I'm not aware of this week. They've got 3 lefties with Prager, you know, and Lampkin and the guys that they've got. So I love lefty starters, and I think that's why you're going to see LSU go with Cade Anderson and jump, because they hold runners, so you're not as likely to steal bags on them, and they neutralize the left-handed bats. Although with Cade Anderson and Gage jump, ironically, for LSU, they're carving up the right-handers. I mean, the righties can't hit them. So that's beautiful, because now all of a sudden, you know, with the lefties, the lefty-lefty matchups where everything's moving away from left-handed hitters, you know, and that kind of thing. If you can dominate the right-handed hitters, those 2 lefties, you got something special.
Todd, looking at LSU's pitching staff, the weekend rotation has been so good so far this season. Luke Coleman and Gage Jump still had a 0 ERA. And I know you talked about non-conference play. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But that's impressive in any kind of 4-week stretch that they've in any part of the season. So Coleman and Jump have been awesome. And you're looking at Mississippi State's offense. As you mentioned, they're hitting .293, which is number 10 in the SEC in batting average, 37 doubles, 3 triples, and 15 home runs. But one guy stands out, and that's Dakota Jordan, who's hitting .415 so far, and he's got 9 of those 15 home runs with 28 RBI. He's number 2 in the SEC and homers, RBI, and slugging percentage. He's the one guy that stands out from this Mississippi State lineup. But LSU's pitching staff should have the advantage against Mississippi State's bats in general, right?
Yeah, except they're at Mississippi State in Starkville, so that adds another element to it. You know, they'll have to go on the road for the first time this year against kind of a rowdy environment. You know, I mean, Mississippi State will pack the house. So that might affect some of these young guys. Gage Jump's not particularly young. I think it's his second year, but he's young in terms of dealing with that. You know, no Pac-12 teams showed what Starkville's going to show him this weekend, so you don't know how he'll react. And the freshman, you know, the one kid for LSU is leading the team. I'm drawing blank. I don't have a paper in front of me, but the second baseman, you know, he's leading
Stephen
the team.
Milam,
yeah, the New Mexico guy. So you don't know how these freshmen, you know, are going to react. Jake Brown, the freshman over there as well, when they get put in the lineup in the SEC. So we'll see, because it's going to be a different ball game then. But overall, LSU should win 2 out of 3 there and get going. But, man, they've got a gauntlet of a schedule. I don't know if you've got it in front of you, but,
yes,
I mean, they got Arkansas, they got Tennessee, they got Florida next week. I mean, dude, if they can get through these first 5 weeks, man, without just getting devastated, then I think they'll be okay, but it's going to be a rough first 5.
Todd, that perfectly leads into my next question, because I was going to ask you about that. Mike and I have previewed this gauntlet for a couple of weeks now. It's four straight weekends against top 10 opponents. When you have at home against Florida, on the road against Arkansas, and then Vanderbilt and Tennessee, I mean, that is as tough as it gets in the country. We talked with Joe Healy from D1 Baseball a couple weeks ago, and he said that I think a 6-6 kind of record in those 12 games against those four opponents would be a win for LSU. But what's kind of your early projection? Do you need to see how they look in Starkville first before you kind of make a projection for those four weekend series, or what are your thoughts on that gauntlet?
Yeah, just based on paper math, you know, LSU again should at least win two of the three in Starkville, and then they come back and play home to Florida. They should easily, not easily, I hate to use that word, especially in baseball, but they should be able to take two or three at home there. So yeah, that puts you at 4-2. But yeah, I mean, you know, shoot, Ole Miss a couple years ago was 6-14 in the conference and won the national championship. So I don't know if you can react and get all, you know, nervous about how you play in the first 7-8 weeks of this conference schedule. We all know the SEC has won five out of the last six national championships, and it should have been all six. You know, Arkansas was one out of the way in 2018. Yeah. And the beautiful thing about that is by five different schools. So, I mean, that shows you the parity in the SEC and the conference that we're dealing with. So, again, yeah, week in and week out, I don't think you can panic on what your record is, but it certainly gets you, you know, war prepared for after the 10 weeks of the, you know, the 30 games of the conference schedule when you move into the postseason.
And then looking back to this Mississippi State matchup, because I don't want to overlook them. They've won 10 of their last 11, like Mike said. Again, not against the greatest opponents, but they do have a nice win against Southern Mississippi. But I'm looking at the matchup on the mound for Mississippi State versus LSU's offense. I think if you could use really any term to describe LSU's bats early on, and I think you kind of prefaced a little bit about Tommy White's issues at the plate a little bit. It's been inconsistent at times, and Mississippi State has a really good weekend rotation. It's been one of the strengths of their team, you know, before this past weekend, the first nine starts that those guys had, only one of them left with only one earned run or more in their start. So just your early thoughts on Mississippi State's rotation, and if LSU's bats can kind of turn things around and start to gain some more consistency.
Yeah, they're about average offensively, but they've got some arms, like I mentioned earlier. I kind of look at the offense more than the pitching staff on the other side. And what I noticed with LSU, who it's been a long time, I think, since they've been this disciplined. And that's a credit to Jay Johnson, who's an offensive guy, you know, as a head coach. And so he's got hands-on with all these hitters. I think they're only 20 behind, you know, you're always going to have more strikeouts than walks, but as a team, I think they're only 20 behind. They got 20 more strikeouts than they do walks. So I think it's like 120 to like 95 or something. It's crazy that they're that close in that parity because, as I said, with pitchers, when you look at strikes to walk ratios, with hitters, I look at how many walks they have versus how many strikeouts they have, and just about everybody in that group, the starting nine, has more walks than strikeouts. I think Brady Neal has the biggest, you know, like gap in between. So what that tells me is you're disciplined, you're going deep in counts, and you're being real selective. And I think LSU, I can't remember the last time they've been this disciplined and selective at the plate. Even last year, I mean, they were free swingers last year, and you know, put up some big numbers. But I think this year they're more disciplined, which means more walks, tiring pitchers out, you know, get them out of games quicker. They're going to be able to do that kind of thing to the other teams.
Todd, I have a texter, and it's an interesting question he asked about the elements of, you know, even in the South, you might catch a cold day, a cold couple days, and all of a sudden, you back in the 80s.
Luke Holman's first start was freezing cold.
Yeah,
Todd.
And then all of a sudden, you get rainy, kind of a rainy situation. As a player, as a former player, adjusting to the elements of what the spring brings, because as we get into May and June, is one thing in the South, is hot. Ain't nothing else. It's hot. So, but in the spring, you kind of catch all four seasons, sometimes all in within 2 weeks of one another. What that does as a player, I think it was a good question.
Nothing. I mean, for me as a hitter, I loved as the season went on because you're getting more bats under your belt. It's always a pitcher's advantage early in the year because it's cold, more dense air. The ball doesn't travel as well. You don't have as many at bats under your belt. You don't get into that kind of like, second wind type of thing with hitters that you just start get grooved in and you don't think as much, you know. So for me, it's better as a hitter as the season goes on. It becomes more of a hitter's advantage. And you have more tape on hit pitchers, more recent tape. You've got more information formation. The pitchers do too, but again, I think it just becomes a hitter's advantage the more at bats you get, and the warmer air, less dense air, the ball travels better. I don't remember too many cold days past about this time on into June, you know. So I loved it. I mean, I loved hitting. I mean, if the wind was blowing out to left as a left-handed hitter, I look to go that way. If the wind was blowing to right, then I'm looking to pull it, you know, and just put it up in that wind and get it out of there. But I think you see that's why a lot of guys, among other things, a lot of people are wanting to transfer into the SEC because the weather's great. They're on TV, the exposure, the NIL deals. That's why the SEC is such a powerhouse. But one of the main things is the weather.
Todd, you mentioned, you know, some young guys getting their first real kind of experience of SEC play this weekend on the road and how it can kind of get some first SEC play jitters. But someone that's been there, done that, and it's going to be the Friday night guy, Luke Holman, as you mentioned, 4-0 record, 0 ERA, 24 innings pitched. And as you mentioned, that 40-4 strikeout-to-walk ratio, it's outstanding so far early on. He's also been there, done that. He was the starter at Alabama, their ace guy, and he's now early developed into the ace at LSU. The jitters aren't going to affect a guy like Luke Holman on Friday night.
Nope, he's been around the league, and that's why he is chosen to be the Friday night guy. He had 15 starts for Alabama last year, only won 7 games, which is crazy because as much grief as we gave Thatcher Hurd last year, he had more wins than Luke Holman. But Luke is definitely a Friday night guy, and I can't imagine he can't. He's going to go 6-7-8 on Friday night and do really well and give him a chance to win, and that's why they've chosen him to be in that spot. So, like I said, the biggest question mark for LSU last year was the entire pitching staff, much less the rotation outside of Paul Skeens and maybe a little bit of Ty Floyd. Now, I mean, you know, the beautiful thing about Jay Johnson is he's able to play a lot of players. He's got big leaguers on the bench, like we said last year, and one of those guys last year was Jared Jones, and now he's getting in there and getting a chance to play, and this guy's going to hit 20 home runs this year, you know. So he's also got that same thing this year. Steven Milan's been a pleasant surprise because Josh Pearson was supposed to play second base, and they were going to put him there just for the offense, but then, you know, Milan comes along and he can handle the bat, so, you know, that answered that question there too. So you never really know what you got until you just let them play in the spring. I mean, I got 8 weeks in the fall, but you never really figure it out till right now when the bell rings and you get out there against real competition and see what you got.
Todd, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always enjoy talking to you. You do a great job, too, on television on the SEC Network.
Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, guys. Anytime.
Thanks so much. Todd Walker, right. Former LSU great, and now you can hear him and watch him on the SEC Network. Does a great job covering the SEC, man. And so that transition was quick, and he does a fantastic job, Charlie. He's one of the best.
Absolutely.
We get Ben McDonald from time to time. Ben's awesome also. But, man, to have those two guys that carved out that career at LSU in baseball, and now you can see him and hear him on the SEC Network, great stuff.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.